Good day, friends and family in the Four Corners region. I'm Michael McAllister, aka DJ Mike, with another real treat of an interview for you today. Today, we have singer-songwriter, producer extraordinaire, Samantha Crane, on the phone with us today. Welcome to the show, Samantha.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today about your recent musical pursuits and also talk a little about some of the other albums and things that you've done. I got to say that, you know, our DJs have been playing your music for many, many years. You've been high on our playlists, and every time you release new music, our DJs are all over it, and I think that pays a lot of respect to the amazing sounds you've made, the music, the storytelling ingrained in that music, and so we do appreciate, you know, very much what you do, Samantha, and we'll continue to do so for many years, I'm sure. And folks, if you're not completely aware of Samantha Crane, she's a Choctaw singer, musician, producer, and from Oklahoma. She's won two NAMMYs. Those are Native American Music Awards, both in 2009 for Folk Album of the Year and Songwriter of the Year. You've also won an Indigenous Music Award in 2019 for Rock Album of the Year. You've had songs all over the map on television, on independent documentaries and films, including The Dark Divide, Barking Water, and Unreserved, the work of Louis Gong. And you've been touring extensively for the past 13 years, nationally, internationally. You've toured with bands like First Aid Kit, Lucy Rose, the Avett Brothers, Mountain Goats, Brandi Carlile, Langhorne Slim, just to name a few. To say the least, Samantha, you've been prolific in your career since the age of 19. Would you agree with that?
Well, from listening to all of that, it sure sounds like I've been busy at least.
Absolutely, to say the least. And just to share the story of how I discovered you, I came to KSJD Radio back in 2017 as music director. And at that time, I was just kind of learning my job, learning the ropes. And I did a lot of looking at DJ playlists to inform me of what kind of music we're playing and kind of get into the groove there. And your name kept coming up over and over and over again. Samantha Crane, Samantha Crane. And I'm thinking, who is this? This has got to be someone really interesting. And inevitably, I got the proverbial box of CDs handed to me. These are what you got to go through and listen. And in that box was your album, You Had Me at Goodbye. And I remember listening to it, starting with Antiseptic Greeting, on to Oh Dear Louise. And I just remember thinking, wow, this is someone who not only is ranging in many different styles and genres of music, but also I think every title of every song is this effortless storytelling that you produce. Just in a few words, you tell a great story or image of the tune, and I was always very impressed by that in your writing. And I wanted to ask first off, as you're ranging through all of these different styles and arrangements and orchestrations, is that something you do intentionally, or is it something that happens very naturally for you?
Well, I think it's kind of both. I think it's something that I always really appreciated and respected about other artists that had sort of long storied careers. And so it's something that I've intentionally set out to try to work on and get better at and kind of keep at the forefront of me just getting better at my craft. But it's also something that I think the more that I practice it and the longer that I've been writing and making records, it does tend to come a bit more naturally to me. I think like for artists that are starting out, there's a lot of like, for me included, you know, when I first started, there's a lot of like mimicry going on, which is just, I think, really natural. Like you try to sort of mimic other styles of artists that you like, so you can learn about the ways that your voice works, or the way that an instrument works, the way that a song is made. And then the more you do it, all those influences kind of start fading, and what ends up surfacing, hopefully, is your own voice. And I think me jumping around genres and like using a variety of different sounds and instruments in my recordings over the past 12 or 13 years is probably due to just having a pretty like wide range of influences, just due to like being a product of like the 90s and the 2000s, because I mean the music on mainstream radio has just like gone all over the place, like in my formative years. So I think that's, you know, led me down a lot of different roads of exploration. And so that's probably, as my voice started appearing, and all of those different influences started getting peeled away, I think just naturally I kind of hop around genres, I think.
Yeah, and that's a great answer, and I agree. You do, and yet at the same time, everything is very distinctively Samantha Crane. You know, there's no doubt when I hear a song of yours that it's yours, even if it has all these different styles in it. Let's move to today, which hot on the heels of your critically acclaimed album, A Small Death, which I want to talk about a little later. You just released, I Guess We Live Here Now EP, a four-song EP. Again, you know, making that range even wider on this little four-song EP that you just released. I wanted to ask you a quick question, though, about the title, I Guess We Live Here Now. What is that? Where's that inspired from?
Well, there's a song on the EP called Two Sitting Ducks, which sort of, I think, follows this exploration of a feeling like in our youth of having freedom and opportunity, or being able to be resilient, even in times of struggle, I think. And so the story that's told in that song, is more or less about, two young people that break down on a trip somewhere, and they just break down in this little town. And so their joke, but also their reality is, well, I guess we live here now. This is where we're stuck. So we make do with it, and we put down roots here. And so it's funny, but it's also like a huge reality in everyone, I think, whose resources are limited, which is that things happen to us, and we are resilient, and we kind of make do with where we're at, and we work through it and live through it and find the freedom and the opportunity in those situations.
Nice. I love that. That's a very kind of Taoist flow of life, just going with it. I love that. Thanks for that answer, Samantha. So staying on the new EP, of course, you released as a single before the EP the song Bloomsday, which was really a very positive, optimistic tune. Just love how that came right out of the pandemic. And as I was listening to the tune, of course, we're getting a lot of play on that tune. Our DJs just love that song. Out of that tune, when you get to the part where you sing "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine," of course, that from an old folk tune. How did that line work its way into Bloomsday?
The song Bloomsday, as I was writing it, it kind of came about in two sections. I had written a lot of the words down as like a poem of sorts, just sort of like had the idea for the words, like had all the verse ideas, but didn't really know if it was going to be a song or how to turn it into a song. I just, you know, had a flash of inspiration and had written down a lot of the verses. And then during the pandemic, I was sort of working part-time at a grocery store in Oklahoma City, and I was just like stocking one day towards the end of my shift and not having like the best day, you know, feeling pretty overwhelmed and just like not really in it. And a song that I've always like kind of hummed to myself under my breath, just like in my head sometimes, or when I'm on a walk, something that's always just sort of like lifted my spirits is the old like traditional gospel song, This Little Light of Mine. It's just been like ever present in my life ever since I was a little kid. And it always just sort of immediately makes me feel better. And as I was singing that, I immediately thought of these words that I had written, the verses, and basically I just felt like they fit together because that song, This Little Light of Mine, it was just so aware to me that song is meant to inspire sort of like the agency you have over your participation in any day and the instrumentality you have to find light and belief in yourself and also to spread that to others. And the verses that I had written down just seemed to kind of pair with that. So when I got home later that day, I just sort of like tried fitting the two together, and the song just sort of immediately, you know, happened. It just like really wanted to work out that way.
Well, that's great. And I got to say, Bloomsday was just masterfully done and masterfully timed. In terms of its release, I think it was a song that we all needed right at that moment. And so kudos on your work with that and working in that cool line of folk music into that idea. I just love the storytelling that goes on with your songwriting, and every song is a unique experience when you listen to Samantha Crane. And thanks again for coming on the show with us. I can't say enough praise for your music and everything you've done. So let's take it back about a year or so to your most critically acclaimed album to date, A Small Death. NPR ranked it 25th of its 50 best albums of 2020. Also, you got ranked number 8 on Rolling Stone's Best Music of 2020 Staff Picks, which is no small feat. And of course, there's much, much more than that, but those are just some of the highlights of the critical acclaim that A Small Death has received. And for myself, you know, comparing that to You Had Me at Goodbye in 2017, I sense a real change in your life between those two albums. And of course, notably, you had three pretty bad accidents, which left you practically debilitated to a great degree, somewhat helpless, and you couldn't play, you couldn't sing, you couldn't do all the things that you normally did. Could you share with our listeners that road from those three accidents to A Small Death? In brief, how did you achieve getting back to that album?
So I guess like coming out of You Had Me at Goodbye, I was already experiencing some pretty debilitating mental and physical ailments. Like my mental health was just really bad. And then I was also having a lot of issues with tendonitis and carpal tunnel, which was causing a lot of like substance abuse issues. And I just was not in a good place and just really, you know, on on one side of kind of a breakdown. And right around that time, what happened, which I see in a way is, you know, maybe my ancestors kind of bringing things to a halt or something for me, because I wasn't going to do it myself, which was I was in a car wreck, which was a pretty bad car wreck, which basically it debilitated me enough, just with like pain, that I was just home a lot, and then kind of growing even more depressed on top of where I already was. And then I was in two more car wrecks right after it. Like, and I always like to say that I'm actually a really good driver. This was just like some weird, I was hit all three times. So like, this was just some weird, weird period, but it seems like it was actually looking back on it, you know, probably put there to like slow me down, to like intentionally stop me, so I could kind of, I think, take stock of what was going on, what all of these never-ending barrage of problems, like my family falling apart, my health declining, my personal life in shambles. My hands were just, had literally stopped working. So I couldn't play, I couldn't tour, I couldn't work, I couldn't do anything. And basically, I was just, I think, my body was just shutting down, and it was sort of all exacerbated by these car wrecks. And it really did just slow me down, and kind of what a lot of people had been experiencing, you know, afterwards with the pandemic, where their lives were sort of unintentionally put on hold. And a lot of people, I think, had the time and space to work through some problems that maybe they had been putting off, and start healing from. But that's basically what this time in my life turned into, which was just through various therapies, I started recovering and kind of started thinking about the births of all the songs that were on that record, On a Small Death. I couldn't play instruments during this time because my hands were still healing and like not really in great working order, but I was kind of speaking and singing and humming ideas and verses and melodies into like voice memo on my phone and some different like recorders and stuff I had around the house. So whenever I did start to get to feel better, and felt like I could kind of go into a studio and write again, I had, you know, a big mess of these songs that I started kind of piecing together. And and so this that album, A Small Death, was really just like the reconstruction of myself, kind of me getting to know myself from scratch again. Like I had been, you know, peeled of a costume that I was put in as a kid, and just sort of allowing myself for the first time to like fully lean into my curiosities and my sensitivities. So I think that is that feeling that you get, that like some big change or some big moment happened between You Have Me at Goodbye and A Small Death, is just, it's like spot on, because there was like it was like a whole sort of rebirth. That's why it's called A Small Death. It was basically like, I feel like I had entered into like a new chapter of my life.
Absolutely. I liken it to the phoenix from the flames. You know, you just came up. And also, you know, for me, listening to that story, I think it really shows what an artist you are, what a true artist you are, in that you have to do this. No matter what barriers you have to fight through, you will create. You will make music one way or another, and persevere. And I congratulate you for that, for sticking with that and not falling into any of those holes that some artists do fall into, and coming back so strong. And what a great album. And, you know, can't say enough about A Small Death. And I think you know, in a year or so, everybody's going to realize this about your most recent work too. I guess we live here now. I'm hearing such a range of stories and styles on just four songs, and I think it's really amazing the work that you've done, Samantha. Congratulations on all of that work.
Thank you.
And I'd like to move on to the future. Wondering, are you planning any kind of a tour or some live dates in the future?
I am. I do have some stuff sort of in the works. Nothing that I can announce yet, but yes, the plans are to do some touring at the end, like in the fall and continuing into next year as well. So I'll be more than happy to be playing some shows.
And we'll be more than happy to attend those shows if they're close to us. Absolutely. Cannot wait to see you on the road again. And also wondering what's next musically? Have you been writing anything new? Is anything in the works artistically?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always working on things. I don't really believe in writer's block because I think that there's like inactive and active writing times, basically. Like, I think that there's all of this inactive time where my brain is sort of refilling itself or taking in like everything around it and then and processing it. And then there's this sort of burst of active writing time, which is where all of it kind of happens and spills out. So, and usually during the inactive writing time, I'm usually working on some sort of other creative project to kind of keep me motivated, even while I'm not writing actively, I guess. So, I also direct music videos. So I've been directing a lot of music videos for artists around here. And, that has been, you know, keeping me busy, and I've got a few new songs that will come out in one way or another, I think, in the next year. And then definitely am already thinking about another record. You know, don't have anything solidified yet, but am on the path.
Nice. That's, you know, not surprising when you read all the info about you. You are just a prolific artist. You've been working hard, and it seems like that's just a part of your nature to be producing, to be creative. And of course, with your new endeavors, working on videos for other artists and helping other people out. I just think you really typify that penultimate artist vibe, you know, as a person. And I congratulate you on all the work you've done. Of course, here we're looking forward to many, many more decades of Samantha Crane's work in many capacities. And I want to thank you for coming on the phone with us today for KSJD and our listeners and our DJs who love you dearly. Thank you so much for doing this interview and sharing your stories about how you are an artist, also some of the personal details of how you achieve that art. I thank you so much for opening up to us and sharing those stories.
Yeah, of course. It's my pleasure.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on the phone today, and best of luck to you. I cannot wait to hear the new material, even though I'm still kind of digesting the new EP right now and giving it a lot of spins on the radio, of course. And can't wait to maybe even see you live if you happen to come through Southwest Colorado. We'll make sure and get you on the calendar and promote that show for you. Absolutely.
Great.
Do you have any last words for our listeners?
I don't think so. I just appreciate that, you know, that y'all have been playing the music, and I don't think I have anything else. No.
That's great. Well, we thank you sincerely for coming on and interviewing with us today for KSJD Radio. I'm Michael McAllister, a.k.a. DJ Mike, with Samantha Crane, who just released her latest EP, I Guess We Live Here Now. featuring the tune Bloomsday, which I urge you all to listen to just because it can really set a great mood after the pandemic and all that we've been through in 2020. Thank you again, Samantha, for coming on the phone with us, and have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Bye.